Good morning.
Good morning,
Calvary Chapel, Battle Creek.
Yes.
Okay, I got a few additional things to say. One, don't hold anything against Pastor Rick that I say today, especially if you're visiting. The rest of you, you know what I'm capable of or not capable of. I'm not chewing tobacco. I have a little cough drop in my lip, so I want to cover that too. And we forgot to announce for the birthday sign-up, who here was born? Yeah, so if you were born and you want to go to the birthday sign up, make sure you sign up, put your name, your birth month, and your kids, if you're going to have them go, their birth month too, and their name. Is that everything? All right. Ooh, I think this one we're going with the physical birth, I think. Biological birth. Yes. All right, I've never done it this way. This is strange. Okay, so today's message is persevere in the freedom Christ provided. Galatians 5, 1 through 6 are our verses, and we're going to discuss the liberty which Christ has made us free. And you might have felt like you were free before you came to Christ, but you're worried about your eternity, you struggled with things, and I don't know about you, but I hit my rock bottom. I was in a jail cell, pepper sprayed by the cops, and I didn't feel real free in that moment. So then I became truly free in Christ. I finally gave up and said, Lord, this is now yours. So that's my story. And we're supposed to stand firm or persevere, and why are we supposed to do that? We're also going to discuss the why more in more detail and how we can avoid being entangled into a yoke of bondage. And as Paul has done throughout Galatians, he's used the law and the requirements of the law to explain that, but there's other yokes of bondage that we have to avoid getting entangled in as well. So we'll do some biblical application for our lives today in the here and now. Keeping the law, that's one of them. Trusting in your flesh, justifying yourselves before God, which we all know is impossible. Which is the point of Paul with circumcision that he's going to go into today. Okay, so, and remember, this is the living word of God. So that's why I like to also remind us, you know, when Paul's going on and on about the law, which was a real issue in the early church at the time in Galatia, it's written for us to read to apply to our lives today. You know, God's word covers all circumstances for all our lives at all time. So we've just got to know the historical application, but also there's a biblical application to our lives today. So let's please remember that as well, especially when it hurts our flesh nature. So we have a tendency to read scripture and our flesh doesn't like it. So we're like, well, that's not really speaking to me, and that's not true. It's always speaking to us. So especially pay attention when it's speaking to you. And before we get started, persevere in the freedom Christ provided. I felt the Lord led me to do this, so I'm going to do it before we stand. But you all, kind of the heart of this message, you all did this already today by getting up and getting ready and coming to church and fellowshipping with believers. When you got up and you fed your kids and they're whining about what you're feeding them, or if you're a sibling, you're doing dishes of your sibling today and you're getting ready to come to church, or someone didn't unload the dryer and then they had to put in the stuff for the washer and they're whining and complaining about it, and you overcame all that and you came in here today. This week, you did not give someone a special greeting when they cut you off, right? These are all good successes. And these, when we do these little successes, this is us laying down our flesh nature and its desires for Christ. We can be loving to him. And you know, Dale and the team's up here, and they hear from you, good job, good job. They clap, you clap, and they know good job. And I'm up here, and I hear good job. Sometimes not always good job, but I hear different feedback. You don't always get feedback. So I want to all applaud you for all you've done this week. It's all about Jesus, but we all are doing it. And I want that to be an encouragement to all of you. Keep doing it. If you haven't done it and you've just been really bad, but you're a believer, well, here's applaud to you for moving forward and doing it. Start doing it, right? Amen? Okay, please stand for the verses today. Galatians 5, 1 through 6. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. This is the word of God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the freedom that you have provided us. Thank you for the example you set by being God and coming in the flesh and laying down your rights to yourself to be 100% obedient to the Father as an example to us that we are supposed to follow you, the head of the church, Lord. Help us be that example. Help us to avoid legalism and the other entanglements, sin and bondage, Lord, that are always around the corner. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to pass the test, to persevere, to stand fast, Lord, as you command us to, so we can be an example to the world and we can be an encouragement and an admonishment to others, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Okay, so a little recap since it's been several weeks since I gave the message. Oh, also, I want to really quick thank Dave for filling in for me last week when I was supposed to preach. And so I'm filling in for Rick today because Rick's sick, and he was in Colorado, so I did not get Rick sick. I mean, he's back in Michigan now, but when he got sick, it was not because of me. I just want to blame someone else for that. Okay, so last time we discussed the two covenants represented by Abraham's wife and his concubine. His wife was Sarah, and she had Isaac, and that was a promise from God that he was going to have a child. And if you remember, Sarah and Abraham, in their own wisdom, in their human wisdom, in their fleshly wisdom, tried to bring about God's promise by giving her concubine Hagar to Abraham, and she had Ishmael. Hagar was in bondage. She was a servant, and she had Ishmael in bondage. And then Paul correlates the law and being in bondage to Hagar and Ishmael, while Isaac and Sarah, which was an impossibility to human terms because they were 100, Abraham was 100, and Sarah was 90 when they conceived Isaac. But God keeps his promises literally. We can't say that enough, especially today with a lot of churches. So God keeps his promises literally. Okay, so yes, Hagar and Isaac or Ishmael are the sign of bondage, and Isaac and Sarah are freedom. Freedom in Christ. Okay, so that was the main point. And as Paul did all through Galatians, and he's doing it in the verses today, he reminds us how foolish it would be for us to be born into bondage, for Christ to set us free, and then we choose to go back into bondage. That was the point, the main point. Okay. And like I said, we maybe felt you were free. When you were born and you're living life, I mean, I know I was like the party guy. Like, I drank a lot and I was partying. If you would have said, are you free? I'd be like, yes. And I would have felt free compared to all the people getting ready and going to church on Sunday morning because I was suffering from a hangover. So I was thinking, you're not free. You feel like you have to go in there. But like I said, through life and circumstances and probably believers' prayers, I got to hit my rock bottom and realize I was not free. I was in bondage to my flesh, to sin, to nicotine back in the day, to alcohol back in the day, to drugs back in the day. There were so many things that I had accumulated, entanglements of bondage, that I was so duped, I thought I was free. But then Christ truly set me free. And yet my flesh always is enticing me to go back into some of those things. Always. And it's important to always remember that. Always remember that. When the enemy is always like dangling that carrot. What is it about Christ freeing us that our flesh just can't stand it and is always there trying to pull us back into, when I was at my wit's end and I'm like, Lord, I'm done with this. Like, that was the spirit within me. That was Christ in me. But yet the flesh is still not dead. And we're going to talk more about that too, how it just constantly, I hate that guy. And we're not going to be rid of him until we're done, right? Until we're with the Lord for all eternity. Okay, so let's get into today's verses where Paul continues to equip the saints to remain free by standing firm in the freedom in Christ Jesus. So verse 1, free to live as we should, not as we please. So as we please, that's kind of what I'm talking about. That's kind of the old life. So once we've been enlightened, once we've got the Spirit alive within us, once Christ is in us, we know better. It would be very similar to Adam after the fall hanging with Jesus Christ. And they're going to have different desires. So when Adam is tempted to do something, because now he's got the knowledge of good and evil, Adam wants to do things that aren't right. But Jesus is there battling and going, Adam, we shouldn't do that. Like, Adam passed all the tests. Adam failed the tests. And we can't blame Adam. I've said this many times. I think Adam was the best of us. Right? I don't think it's like we can stand and go, Adam, I can't believe you fell. I would have passed those tests. I think we're lying to ourselves. We would all fail those tests. But that's the warring that we have within us. We have that sin nature that Adam gave us. While we have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ with us. So as we live out this life, we've got that battle going on constantly. And we have to choose who we're going to listen to at every moment. That's very important to remember. So the verse 1, I want to make sure we understand. We're free. Christ freed us. He freed us to choose to follow him or not. When we're driving, when we're working, when we're hanging with friends, we get to choose to follow him or not. We're saved. If you are born again, you are saved. But it doesn't mean you make the right choices. It doesn't even mean you make the right choices the majority of the time. Because it's not about what you do, it's about what Christ did. But because of what Christ did, if we really understand that, we should want to be like him. We should want to please him. Standing fast, standing firm. In the Greek, it means stako. It's the word is stako, which means persevere. And to keep one standing. The American Heritage Dictionary defines perseverance or persevere as persist, remain constant to a purpose in the face of obstacles or discouragement. I love that because you can't persevere unless you have something coming against you. It's not easy. Like any of us who thought it'd be easy to be a Christian have found out it's not. And Jesus promised us you're going to get persecution. And the more you say yes to Jesus and no to your flesh nature, the more persecution you're going to find. The more battles, the more opportunity to persevere there will be. The danger is to listen to the flesh so much that you don't feel the conflict. You're just going along with the world. And we're going to go more into that in a little bit too. So we're supposed to stand fast, to persevere. It requires obstacles or the opportunity for us to be entangled. So in a way, you could look at the obstacles and the entanglement, the conflict we have as a blessing. Because it gives us an opportunity to measure ourselves. How am I doing? Who is my first love? What am I doing? Because if it was easy, we'd just be like, just going through it. I know I felt this greatest when I worked at one place where I became a believer, and I was this scary union guy that everybody was scared of, even the supervisors. And when I became a Christian, it freaked them all out. And I felt that, and I felt good about that, like, okay, there's a difference. Then I moved to other jobs, and all they know is Christian Jason. And I didn't feel that. And I remember feeling like, Lord, am I watered down? Am I lukewarm? But it was, and I'm not saying I never battle with those, but mostly it was, that's all they knew. They didn't know that scary, angry, foul-mouthed jerk. They didn't know that guy. So that was the big difference there. So stand fast or firm. And for what? What is Paul saying to stand fast or firm for? For the liberty and freedom that Jesus provided. And this scares a lot of teachers, Christian teachers and leaders, to teach liberty and freedom in Christ. Because a lot of times, we want to control people. We don't want to tell them that this stuff's okay. I mean, the one verse that really you could tell people get very uncomfortable with is when Paul says, all things are permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. Oh, that's so scary. Well, you know what? I can talk to you all day about how important the Word of God is and how we got to follow the Lord and we got to do all these things, but I don't know what you're doing when you leave here. I can't know. And then I find I have thoughts and action sometimes that I don't want you to know. But the thing is I never feel good about it. I'm never like, man, this is so beneficial to me. Because the Holy Spirit will not let me feel that way. I was so much better at sinning before I became a believer. I was really good at it. I am not now. Now it's like, oh my gosh. And there are times I'm tempted to do something and I just think, how am I going to feel if I give into that? Man, I hate that feeling. I know that feeling. The Lord will not let me do it because he loves us. That's why. And you got to get so sick of yourself enough that you stop doing that thing. And we all have that thing or those things, right? Okay. Some of that was bonus material because I didn't even have it in my notes. But we shouldn't choose to selfishly be free, to do things for our own benefit, which would be more the Adam way to do it. Man, that fruit looks good. And my wife just ate it. I mean, she was about to eat it, and I kind of wanted to eat it, so I let her eat it. How many husbands do that? Well, I didn't want to buy that. I didn't want to do that, but my wife did, so we did it. Like, well, that's kind of Adam-like, right? Like, you knew better, and you weren't really there to protect her, to help her. And I'm sure it goes the other way. But we are to live how we should in Christ, not as we please in the flesh. That's the important thing about the freedom. And your Holy Spirit that you have in you, if you are truly a believer, he will not let you. He will keep bugging you. He will keep bugging you. Sometimes he'll be quiet for a while, but it's coming. It'll come back, and you guys know what I'm talking about. So how do we know how to live in Christ? What's the way we know? What's the tool God gave us to know how to live in Christ? The Word of God. I see Bibles raised up and all this. You guys are ready. You got your tools. You know, I had a whole bunch of you guys offer me cough drops before the message today. You guys came prepared. Oh, Jason's preaching? Better give him those cough drops. I appreciate that. Got my Bible, got my cough drops for Jason. But 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's important to say the man of God, it also means the woman of God. That's almost always the way it is. But when it talks about circumcision today, no women in that one. It's just talking about men there. But I think it's important to remember that he wants us, men and women, to be fully equipped. I would say, I'm gonna hammer on this a lot because I think the Lord wanted me to, but your feelings about the Word of God will tell you how much you really want to be fully equipped. Paul mentions being entangled in a yoke or a burden of bondage. What does he mean here? He's going into some law-keeping. Like circumcision is one example, but there are more, as we all know. We all struggle with stuff that entangle us or tempt us. But at this point, the main idea is to protect us from falling into these entanglements. Now, I would say the closest thing to the law for us is legalism. And one way of legalism is your own personal convictions that the Lord has told you to not do something that's not necessarily in the scriptures. Because a lot of times we want other people to go through it. And I don't know about you, but when the Lord tells you not to do something, it's not always comfortable for the flesh. So it's kind of miserable, right? And misery loves company. So I want to tell all of you, don't do that thing that I'm not do that you're free to do. That's legalism. Now, if the Lord has told you not to do it, don't do it. But if it's not in the scriptures, it's not for you to put on other people. So that's one of the biggest ways I think we can relate to what Paul's talking about here and not do this to other people. So the main idea is to protect us from falling into these entanglements. We need to persevere in Jesus Christ. Remember, the main point of these verses is to stay free. We don't want to take away people's freedom and their liberty in Christ because of our own personal convictions. Amen? So we need to persevere in Jesus. We need to persevere in his word. Jesus is called the Word of God. And we want to persevere with his people. We want to do this together. This is not something we're sent out physically to go out on our own. We're supposed to be together. And Jesus even tells us to fellowship all the more as we see the day approaching. Because the apostate church is going to start getting worse and worse. The lies and deception of the world and the Antichrist system are going to start creeping in. And God loves us and gave us that command for us. It's not supposed to be a burden, folks. Fellowshipping all the more is not supposed to be a burden. And like I said, you guys proved that today. You got up and you came in. You laid down your flesh wanting to lay around in your pajamas and not go out in the cold, which isn't so cold, like Evan said. It's not so bad now. Almost feels like we should open our pool after those 5-degree days. But you still got up and you came in and you're sitting here and your kids and you're getting them ready and all those different things. You chose to do what God told us to do. And I don't know about you, but I never go to a group. I never come to church. I never do any of these things and walk out and go, and that was a giant waste of time. I don't. But there are times where I sit and I played video games when I was younger, or I've chosen to do things that are a giant waste of time on my phone sometimes, and I get done and I'm like, that was a giant waste of time. I mean, if you look at the ratings on some of these games on your phone, if you look at the reviews, some of the 5-star ratings are, it's a great time waster. I mean, whose time is it? Whose time are we on? God's time. So persevere, fight together against the lies, the flesh, the enemy, and the entanglements that are all around us. Remember, those are good things to see because that's your opportunity to stand fast, to persevere, pass the test. I don't know about you, I was not a very good student in school, but when I did study and I took a test and I knew the material, I was excited to take the test. I couldn't wait to take the test. And when I knew all the answers, it was fun. But when I did not know the answers, I was up all night. I was like, man, I really should have studied for this thing. It was horrible. It was awful. Well, that's us. That's us. Are we in our word? Are we fellowshipping? Are we doing all the things God's asked us to do so then when the test comes, we're excited to overcome it and to conquer it? And I'll tell you something. When the Holy Spirit helps you overcome tests of the world and you feel like you broke down a brick wall, you're kind of like, Lord, what's the next one? You get on a roll, but when you fail, it's not good. A word almost flew out of my mouth that I don't want to say with a microphone on me. Not a swear word, but one of those kind of fringy, not great words, you know. Man, that's scary. I don't want to ever say stuff like that. Anyway, it stinks. That's a better word. It stinks. It stinks. When you do that, it stinks. Okay. Persevere, fight against the lies, the flesh, the entanglements. Stay free in Christ against the deception and keeping of the law, the deception of legalism, deception that you aren't good enough just believing in Jesus. You are good enough just believing in Jesus. And this is the confounding thing about Jesus dying for our sins and doing all the work. Because it makes us feel like we're either going to have a license to sin and live however we want, or we're going to trust in our own works to get us there. And neither's right. It's in the middle. And it seems like in the middle is the hardest thing for us to understand. It's so hard to realize that Jesus did it all and there's nothing I have to do to go to heaven and be with him forever. But then my body wants to just go, well, I'll just do whatever. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to go to heaven. But then it's kind of like that relationship with your wife. If you know she loves you, does it give you a license to just go out and do whatever you want to do? To go out on dates with a bunch of other women? No. No, exactly. You know better. But our faith is the same way. And God uses that, the idols, in serving other idols, he looks at it as adultery. All through the Old Testament. Hosea. Hosea is an example of what Israel was doing. You're going out and you're sleeping around like his wife was. So we don't want to do that. We want to serve God. We want to lay down our desires of the flesh as free as we are because Christ did everything, not getting caught up in legalism because we have to, but because you loved us so much, we want to. We love you, Lord. We're going to get more into that. What does that look like? It's easy to say, I love you, Lord, and then not care about his word, not fellowship all the more, not care about anything he says, and to say, I love Jesus. So we're going to get more into that too. I keep saying that, so you got to stay till the end. I would add the deception of lies from the apostate church is another thing, another entanglement. Because a lot of that stuff will make your life in this world easier. Because the apostate church lies are things we want it to say in the flesh. Like we have family members who, man, if I adopt what the apostate church is saying, I'm not going to have that conflict with my family members anymore. Because the apostate church says what they're doing and how they're living is okay. But that's not who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be light bearers, truth bearers. How are we supposed to be the salt of the earth if we've lost all our saltiness? We can't be. But see, that's what the apostate church entanglement is. Man, it'll be a lot easier to use and abuse people as they're on their way to hell if I just adopt this mindset instead of standing for the truth. It not only says what we want it to say in our flesh, but it also gives us what society wants it to say, what society wants the Bible to believe. We were just given something today where someone was going to jail or they were charged with a war crime for preaching in Romans 1 about marriage being between a man and a woman. A war crime? Well, it would have been a lot easier for her to just not post that on social media and not go to jail. Well, you know what? I believe that, but I'm going to let other people just go the route they're going to go. That's not loving. That's not loving at all. We're supposed to be light bearers, truth bearers, salt of the earth, right? So this is the entanglements also we've got to deal with in our day, today. Do you think Paul would have let that go? Or was he speak on it? Would he write a letter on it? If that was some, I mean, he did, right? Romans, he's the one who wrote it. So he's an example too. If this stuff's going on, we've got to write it. Even if it meant war crimes. You know, a lot of the Christians that were killed in the Colosseum, it wasn't like, they stood for Jesus, so we're going to kill them. And it's like, yeah, that's what I want. No, it was more like, they're an abuser of children. They lied. So here, you're standing for Jesus, and you're getting, you know, they're telling you that, or everyone else, that you're a rotten scoundrel. And you have to be willing to die for Jesus, even though they're lying about what they're accusing you of. Like this woman. War crimes, traitor, spy. Well, what is it you really did? Well, I was quoting Romans 1. We got to be willing to handle that. That takes perseverance. That takes standing fast. We must never let them change the word of God. And part of that is never stay silent while they try to do it. Stand fast. Verses 2 and 3, if Jesus isn't your everything, he will profit you nothing. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. I don't know if this scares anybody, but that's not necessarily what Paul's saying. He's not saying if you've been circumcised, you cannot. He's saying if you trust in your flesh to justify yourselves before God. That is what he's saying. If you trust in your flesh to justify yourself before God, you don't really understand who Jesus is. You have to know that Jesus did it all. It's an all or nothing proposal. Jesus did it all. Paul's repeating himself to emphasize its importance. You guys have to get this through your head. Remember, these people had false teachers coming in to distort the truth, try to get them, oh, you believe in Jesus? That's great. But you also have to do all these things in the law. And Paul's protecting them from this, trying to make sure they get it. And remember, they believed, and that's why his point is, don't be free in Christ like you were when I was talking to you before, and now you're going to go back into bondage to the law? Why would you do such a foolish thing? So get this through your head. Jesus is God, and he has to be our first love. If the law creeps in, Jesus is not our first love. Jesus has to be our first love. That was the warning to the early church in Ephesus. In the church age, time, in Revelation, you've lost, this is what I have against you, you've left your first love. Don't lose your first love. He is everything, and Jesus did everything. He did it all. It's not because of what you did or what you do. Again, scary. Scary. Just remember, all things are permissible for you, but not all things are beneficial. Test everything against the Word of God. How do you know drugs are bad for you? Because the Bible says it is. Pharmakia. How do we know drunkenness is bad for you? Because the Word of God tells you. How do we know we're supposed to take care of our body and not go and bring it one with a bunch of prostitutes? Because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us this. We've got to learn the Bible. We have to know it. We have to study it. We have to love the Word of God. Take it in. Take it in constantly. Carve it out. You know, New Year's resolutions. You got people like, I have gained weight this year. I've got to lose some weight. And you make a plan. Now, a lot of us don't stick to it, but you make a plan. You're diligent. You've got a plan. How many of us are making a plan to make sure we're in prayer? And we're reading and studying the Bible, and we're meeting together. And how many of us are making sure that we're getting better in those things and not worse in those things? Because if we're all willy-nilly like, oh, I'll just do it when it works out. I mean, how many of you would still have a job if that's how you like worked or showed up to work? I just wasn't feeling it today, boss. I just didn't feel like it. It's not going to be good. Well, if Jesus is our first love, should we be all willy-nilly about how we pray and how we read and study and how we meet together? Remember, we're free in Christ, but I want to make sure we understand we are free because of Christ. And stir the love up of what Jesus did for us so we take that freedom and we lay it down. Our flesh nature and desires that we were supposed to crucify daily, lay them down so we can be who Christ wants us to be. And you feel good about it. When you're obedient to Christ, you feel good about it. So yeah, and remember this, these teachers who are trying to convince the Galatian Christians to follow the law, they themselves know they've never been able to keep it. So here's that thing. Oh, that thing I can't do, misery loves company, I want you to do it too. I want you to fail every single day just like I do. Keep the law. Keep the law. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. That's not what Paul is trying to tell us. He's saying be free in Christ. He's empowering us to walk in the Spirit, walk in the light. And if we do those things, the Bible tells us the law has no power over us. Because we're going to be above and higher than what the law even says. We're going to love people. We're going to love our enemies. The law didn't necessarily tell us to do that. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But we're supposed to love our enemies. Give a cup of cold water to our enemies. Okay, verse 4. Don't attempt to be justified yourselves, or you'll prove you aren't of his flock. Again, you can't know Jesus if you think there's stuff you need to do for salvation. That's what Paul's saying here. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. I mean, that is some powerful words there that Paul's saying. I personally do not believe you can become born again and lose your salvation. So I think what Paul is saying here is the path you are on to belief in Jesus and trusting in Jesus for everything, you are in danger. You are in danger of falling from that grace. You are estranged from Christ. The Christ that you were taught from me, that you are on your way, you have fallen from. You are now mixing it with the law, and you shouldn't do that. So if you try to do this, keep the law to justify yourself, you don't really know Christ or understand what it is he's done for you. You were estranged from him. You couldn't really have known him if you don't understand this. I think sometimes the enemy works on us, and we have a very hard time forgiving ourselves for things we've done in the past, maybe things you've done this week. But remember, when you repent, when you are sincere and you're like, Lord, I don't ever want to do that again. Lord, I know I've done it 1,000 times. I know I've said this many times. I don't want to do it again. I know, Lord, but I really don't want to. And he knows you're sincere. He doesn't remember it anymore. He's freeing you. So let's say there's a sin you did yesterday. And right afterward, you're like, Lord, I did it again. I know you know, I'll use my old smoking thing. I smoked. Lord, I don't ever want to do that again. I am so sorry. At that moment, now I know science says it takes 3 days to nicotine get out of your system. And, you know, I knew all that. But at that moment, 30 seconds after I smoked that cigarette, I am free again. I am free. Right then, the enemy does not want me to feel that way. The enemy wants me to feel entangled in that bondage. But I am free because I put Christ over it. And I've asked him to forgive me. And I moved on. And here's the trick. Here's the thing. When you realize you are free, and now you have a decision by the power of the Holy Spirit to lay that down and go back into bondage, it will help you stay free. You don't have to open up that site. You don't have to light that cigarette if that's what the Lord put on you to quit, because this is not one of those things I can go to Scripture. That's just my own personal thing. So maybe I shouldn't have brought that one up. But for me, it was a thing where I was supposed to quit that. Okay? I don't have Scriptures to go there. I don't think it's a great thing to do, but I can't go. The Bible says. But whatever it is you're dealing with, the Lord's saying don't. It could be a sharp temper that you got, a sharp tongue, you know? And you did it. You slipped again. And you're like, oh my gosh, now I got to pay for that. You know, whatever it is, when you've given it to the Lord, you're free again. You are free. Remain free. That's very important. And when you realize that, that's where Christ will profit you. When you think it's all on you and you have all this stuff to do, you are minimizing who Jesus is and what he's done. That's what Paul's trying to say here. He's not going to profit you. He's not going to profit you in eternity if you think it's your own righteousness that's going to get you into heaven, because you're not going. If you think it's on you, you're not going. It's got to be all Jesus. Why should I let you into heaven? If it starts with, well, I know because of Jesus. That's why I'm going to heaven, because of Jesus and what he did for me. So the people who attempt to justify themselves would be like those seeds that sprout up fast. The sower, the seeds sprout up fast, they believe, but then persecution comes. Things come their way, and then they wither away and they fall. They don't pass the test. They don't persevere. They didn't stand fast. They fell away. They withered. The Bible says they withered away. So they sprouted up fast, but they withered away. That's what I think these believers, or would call themselves believers, were. They sprouted up fast, but they didn't have a root. What's the root? They weren't rooted in Christ. You can't be rooted in Christ and think you have something of righteousness to offer to God. You cannot be rooted in Christ and think that. You have to know it was all done by Jesus. Or they're similar to the sheep and the goats. The goats are the ones he casts away. They said, Lord, Lord, we love you. But no, you were never a part of me. I never knew you. Or those who fail to examine themselves to see if they're in the faith. You examine yourselves and like, Lord, man, I am good. I've gone to Mass. I mean, this is something I have family members who tell me. I went to Mass so many times when I was a kid in parochial school. I'm good to go. Like, that is not a good answer. That is a very bad answer. But it sounds good, doesn't it? Man, I'm so impressed. So impressed. I might have to do a part two. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this message. This is a loving warning verse. That's how I like to look at this. Because it's a heavy verse. Like, ooh, man, he's saying they've fallen from grace. They are estranged from Christ. I don't know about you, but I think words have meaning. And when I read those words, I'm like, these are scary words. But it's loving because Paul is trying to warn them. All they have to do is say, yeah, you're right, Paul. I don't trust in myself. I trust in Jesus only. That's it. That's all you have to do. If you're struggling with this, that's all you have to do. Lord, I just trust in you. You're my everything. You did everything, and you're my everything. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No one comes to the Father except through him. That's Jesus' words. So those who say he's not the only way, but he's a great guy, they think he lied in that point. That doesn't sound like a good guy. Jesus is the only way. He told us he was the only way. And why did he tell us that? Because he had to, because he loves us. So he has to tell the truth. We have to be the same way. Like we talked about earlier, when the world is trying to say things that the Bible says that are not true, we all have a responsibility to stand up and tell them the truth because we love them. We're not hating. We're not judging. You know, you're not judging when you quote the Bible, right? You're just proclaiming what God already judged. Verse 5, real believers yearn for the Lord and his righteousness. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. When we do this, when do we get this righteousness by faith? Do we have it right now? Are we fully righteous? No. We're hoping for it. We're yearning for it. And we know we're investing. See, all those things we talked about where we applauded, I wanted to applaud all of you for doing, these are all little examples of your hope in him in the future. You're investing in the eternal kingdom where you know one day you are going to be righteous. We're going to be glorified, whether that's the rapture or in death. But that's what we're hoping for. And that's where our mind should be, is constantly keeping our eyes on Jesus when we take communion. We are taking communion to remember what he did for us and that he is coming back for us. He didn't just leave us here. Well, have fun. It's going to get real rough, guys. I'm coming back for you. I love you. And like I said, fellowship all the more. That is such a loving recommendation, command. It's going to get rough, guys. And you're going to need to meet more often. If Jesus thought, you know, the Holy Spirit's enough, you don't need to meet, he wouldn't have told us to meet. Now, meeting all the more doesn't get us into heaven, but he knows it's going to be beneficial to you. All things are permissible, not all things are beneficial. What did Jesus say is beneficial? He's so beneficial that he commanded us to do this. God loves us so much. So we know we've been justified already and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We know that. But what are we supposed to do in the meantime? Well, we're hoping for that righteousness. We're supposed to be crucifying the desires of the flesh, laying them down, and as free, because we are free in Christ, free in Christ because of Christ, living for Christ. Not how we want. Not how our flesh wants. We've got to distinguish that too, because there are things, and we've talked about this before, there's Christians who think if they're having fun or having a good time that they're doing something against God. That is also a lie from the devil. Now, if there's something in Scripture that says don't do that and you're having a good time, that's not good. Don't do that. But if it's a good thing and you're doing it and it's fun and you're having a good time, do not feel bad for that. But also don't chase that. Hey, I'd really like you to go here and serve here and get dirty and be a missionary in Haiti, Jason, and I go and do other things that are more comfortable for me. Well, now I might be chasing my flesh. Maybe not sinning outright, but I'm missing out on opportunities that God has presented for me. Does that make sense? Again, sometimes it's gray area. Sometimes it can be, you can't spell it out for each person. It's scary because you have to trust that you love God so much and you're in his word enough to discern what you should and shouldn't do sometimes. Because we don't know every circumstance, but we know who does. God does. So we can't be righteous yet fully, because we have the sin nature in us that's warring against us every day. But I think it's important every day to recognize that we have that sin nature. So that way, we know there's a battle and there's an opportunity to persevere against this guy that I hate that is walking with me every day, that is always trying to get me to miss out on eternal rewards, eternal investments. But we continue hoping in the meantime, as we submit to the Lord and obey his word and the Holy Spirit who is in us. And as we do this, we yearn for his return when we will one day be glorified and righteous for all eternity. The point really is we eagerly seek him all the days of our life. And the more we can do it, the more we can take every thought captive to him, the more grateful you are to the Lord every moment of the day, the more thankful you are for what the Lord did every day, the more thankful you are for the freedom that he provided you every day, the less likely you are to fall into the entanglements and bondage of this world and sin. Verse 6, faith working through love in Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So like I said, it doesn't matter. He's not talking about circumcision or not circumcision as much as trusting in the act and the law of circumcision. That's what he's discussing. Same thing when we trust in our own righteousness, legalism, any of those things. And our faith should be working. See, the freedom we have in Christ allows us to love where the law didn't always allow us to love. So today, or this weekend, I could go on Saturday to Menards and witness to people. In the law, could you have done that? No, you have to stay home. See, Christ wants us free to go do what we can do, what he did. That's the idea. Free us to go do what we need to do for Christ. He empowered us. It's such a cool thing that God, knowing we have this sin nature and we're going to fail, knowing how many times we're going to mess up and go, Lord, I'll never do it again. And we do it again. How many times he does that? And yet he still freed us and says, go. And when you ask for forgiveness, I don't even remember it anymore. Wow. Aren't you glad that's the God we serve? Because he could have been like, man, you need to get it all right or you're done. That's your one chance. So if Jesus doesn't matter, or in Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. It doesn't matter if you trust in yourself. I mean, all these things, all that should matter, I should say, is that Jesus passed all the tests. Remember, he was the sacrificial lamb. Jesus is the only one who lived a perfect life. And because of our belief in him, we are covered in his blood. When the Father sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. If you try to add any of your good works on there, what does that do? It taints it. It screws it all up. Our good works are filthy rags to God. So just let it be clean. Trust in Jesus' righteousness only. And if we're in Christ, if we are in Christ, if he is our first love, we should look, sound, smell like Jesus. Some of you might be going, smell like Jesus? Yes, smell like Jesus. I got a scripture for you. 2 Corinthians 2:14-16. 2 Corinthians 2:14-16. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? So, those who are perishing, when we stand for truth and we are like Christ and we look like Christ, we smell like Christ. And this is why some places you go, you don't know why, but someone hates you. They can't stand you, and they don't even know you because you stink to them. You smell like death. You are reminding them that they are not free, that they are eternally damned in their state right now, and that's a good thing. Have you ever met people who they just love you for no reason? You don't even know why? You know why? You are a sweet aroma to them. The worst thing is to walk in and there is no aroma coming off you at all. I would say that is the Laodicean church, the lukewarm church, the salt with no saltiness. That is not a good thing. And I think that is our greatest test in our society today, is to blend in. I'm going to get into that in a minute. That's another one. In a minute. And notice it says, who is sufficient for these things at the very end? Who is qualified? That's what it means. Who's qualified? Who has Jesus as their first love? Who loves Jesus so much? Who's so thankful and grateful to Jesus every day that they are walking like him? He's number one in their lives. Try to. Exactly. And when you mess up, that's the Holy Spirit going, man, you do love Jesus. You love him a lot, but you screwed up. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to keep moving. That's the good sign. If you can keep going that way and you never feel that way, you feel like you're something special, you know, you like hang your hat on, I believe in Jesus. That's kind of how I was before I was born again. If you would have asked me, do you believe in Jesus? Well, yeah, I don't want to go to hell. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I could care less what his word said. It's once I realized that Jesus did it all for me, that's when I cared what his word said. Man, the one who did all for me, there's a book written that tells me all about him. I want to know him. I want to know him inside and out. I want to be like him. He's my master. Is he the one who you aim to please above all other people, including your spouse, your kids, your boss? Who is sufficient? Are you? Are you sufficient? And if you aren't, do you want to be? Make him your first love, saints. Some final thoughts. Free to live for Christ, who set us free. Jesus was obedient to the Father 100% of the time. He said his disciples will obey his commands. Now, is there anyone here who really wants to go to heaven and Jesus goes, you were a pretty good follower? Or do you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? You were a disciple. And again, you got that flesh. The flesh might be going, yeah, I kind of want to be a C-minus Christian. I'm good to go in heaven, but I enjoyed life here on earth. But that's not what the Holy Spirit in you is calling you to be, and you know it. And you're going to struggle all through it. Like I said, you can't sin the same way. Jesus said, if you love me, follow my commands. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? But he should have said, who is truth? Because Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And his word is the truth. He is the word of God. We cannot separate Jesus from the word of God. You can't love Jesus and hate the word of God. You cannot do it. If you really want to know Jesus and love Jesus, you have to really know and love the word of God. Jesus freed us and made us alive in the Spirit. He did this while we were dead and in bondage to sin. We were enemies of God when he did this. We were in bondage when he sacrificed himself to obedience to the Father, because the Father loves us so much too. He sent his only begotten Son, remember. God loves us. If Jesus was so obedient to the Father, and the Father loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins to free us from bondage of sin, shouldn't we be filled with the gratitude and thankfulness to do the same for him? And he doesn't say, do it just to me. He says, I want you to do it to one another, just like I did, because it's his desire that all would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. So it's not just this one-on-one thing. It's for each other. Love him above all other things. If we agree we should, what could we do differently? Moving forward here and now. This isn't supposed to beat us up for our past. This message is to help us get to the starting blocks to go from now on. Finish this race for Christ. And as we screw up, because we're gonna, just think of each other. And I know they screwed up too, but how would I want them to respond? That's exactly how I'm gonna respond. I don't care if I messed up 1,000 times in the same issue. I'm going to commit. I'm going to keep quitting. You know how I eventually quit smoking? I failed many times. You know how I quit? I never quit quitting. You got to just keep quitting. Keep doing it. Whatever that thing is that you struggle with, keep quitting. And if you've overcome it and the temptation's there, like, well, let's just do it one more time. Just know where that's coming from. That is not the Holy Spirit going, you know what? You need to remember why you quit smoking, Jason. You know, one more time to just, so you can be more aware. I mean, it's almost like a knowledge of good and evil kind of little temptation, right? Don't do it. Don't listen to it. You got to put it in its proper place. Remember, Jesus warned the early church of Ephesus about leaving their first love. Have we left our first love? Do we love the word of God? Do we love anything more than God? Do we serve other things with more zeal than God and his word? We can get very excited. I've told you guys this before. There's certain people in my life who they get more excited about talking about what to eat and what not to eat than they do about God. And that's weird to me. It's not like I think they're bad people, but I'm like, man, why are you getting, like, we're talking about God and they're kind of like half asleep. Then you start talking about eating right and they're like, whoa, yeah. I'm like, this is not in the right perspective. This is not in the right order. Do we serve other things more with more zeal than God and his word? So I know I'm running over, but I really felt led. There's a song that's come out fairly recently by Josiah Queen called Dusty Bibles. Show me your hands. I know some people have never heard it, but show me your hands if you know that song. Okay. I'm actually happy all your hands didn't go up, because then I'm just talking to you and you're like, whatever, Jason. So it's really good. I want to read some of the lyrics. If I was Rick, I might even sing them, but for you, I will not. So here's some lyrics I'm going to read. I'm going to not repeat some things, but I wanted to get most of it. We got dust on our Bibles, brand new iPhones. No wonder why we feel this way. Hey, how have you been? It's been a while, and I'm just checking in. I miss the way things used to be back in 2017. Now, real quick, I think 2017 is probably a point where he didn't kind of go all in on the iPhone and the phone and kind of left his prayer life and his Bible, right? I think that's what's happening here. And I just miss my friend. Hey, I've been fine. I've been struggling to find some peace of mind. It's the problem of our nation and in our generation. We're too busy and can't find the time. Are we busy, or is it just a lie? We got dust on our Bibles, brand new iPhones. No wonder why we feel this way. We walk with our eyes closed, blind leading blind folks. And I'm done with those idols and dusty Bibles. You only get this one life. I don't want to sit and watch it pass me by. I'm so done being complacent. There ain't no replacement for a lie in the light of your way. Oh, I'm done. Had enough of my way. I miss the way things used to be back in 2017. And I just miss my friend. Oh, I just miss my friend. I think this is a great Holy Spirit-led admonishment and encouragement to our generation. I think there are many people who do have dusty Bibles. And I would say if you're reading your Bible on your iPhone or your Samsung, whatever it is, that's kind of what he's talking about, is if you're not reading your Bible, however you're reading your Bible. There are studies that say reading your book Bible is better for you than reading it on your phone. But still, I think we want to get the Word of God in us, and I don't want to deter anyone from reading it on their phone or online or listening to it. But basically, you want to be getting the Word of God in you. And you shouldn't be chasing the latest and greatest of this world instead of Him. And we do wonder, why do I feel this way? Where's the peace? Where's the love and the joy that I had? And you can always tie it back into, I'm not praying. I'm not reading. I'm not fellowshipping. I'm not studying. Missing our friend. Jesus says, God says, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. I think that's why that verse is in there. I'm missing my friend. You're not drawing close to me anymore. I miss spending time with you. Remember, he died for you. It's his desire. All those people out there too. I think it's also important, I don't know about you, but this helps me. When it's just me and my salvation and my life with Jesus, I can be like, it's not that big a deal. But when I realize that my obedience to Christ could actually hinder or help other people, that makes it a bigger deal for me. And I don't believe that's because Jason's a good guy. I think that's because the Holy Spirit in me. Okay, real quick, so I don't have to do a part two. Joshua 24:14-15, he asks the Israelites right before he's about to take his last breath. I actually think it might be that day he took his last breath. But he's basically asking him to choose. Like, you got to choose. And I want all of us to choose. Like, who do we really want to be in Christ? Do we want to be that C-minus Christian? Do we want to serve other things? Or do we want to serve Jesus? Do we want to be, is he our first love? So Joshua said, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you feel that way, I want to encourage you to clean that slate, repent, and get back on track and come up with a plan of commitment to make Jesus your first love, to keep going for him, to remind yourself that he saved you, he saved us, and that our obedience and our walk will affect other people God brings across our paths. Jesus saved us. Jesus freed us. And it was his desire that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:1-6. Write that down because I'm running over and I don't want any, I know the Sunday school people, like, what is he doing? So 1 Timothy 2:1-6, it's got those verses in it, but it's telling us what is good and pleasing to God. Very important. Live peaceable lives. He wanted all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. Lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Jesus also asks us to pray and intercede and give thanks for all men. All men. That's hard. That's hard. I know some men I don't want to be thankful for. All men. Kings. Those in authority. There's some evil people in authority. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Lead quiet and peaceable lives in all goodness and reverence. And God says this is good and acceptable. We are free to do what God asks us to do. We are free to limit how much we do for God as well. We must decide who we want to be in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, like Joshua asked the Israelites to decide. Church, who's with me? Let's persevere in the freedom Jesus Christ has provided. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for everybody who is serving you. Thank you for all the little successes this past week, Lord, to live for you and not for ourselves. And Lord, I just pray that we really, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we really comprehend your faithfulness and your sacrifice for us, that you overcame all the tests and temptations that we have to deal with, Lord, and that it's all through your obedience, all through your sacrifice that we are saved. Lord, help us to return that love and that joy through the power of the Holy Spirit that you gifted to us, that you sealed us with, Lord. Help us to go out boldly to stand for your truth because we love you and we love others. In Jesus' name, amen.